That was precious as the children here singing and mom playing the piano. Dad was back there at the back holding the youngest, trying to get his daddy badge. So anyway, good to be here this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house on this Father's Day. And I hope you mothers won't be offended if I preach a sermon to the fathers this morning. Actually, I had preparing special occasion sermons has always been a challenge for me. So I had asked Richard, my grandson, to bring the message today because he's a new dad, and I thought that would be very appropriate. But they had already planned a vacation, so you're stuck with me this morning. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 127, we're going to read verses 3 through 5. And if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Based on this scripture today, I want to speak to you about this truth. Every Christian father is a warrior for God. Verse 4 says, it is like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And so this morning, fathers, you are the archer. You are the warrior. Your children are the arrows. And the arrows are no more effective than the archer is. God's plan, according to the Bible, is for every father to be a warrior training their children to hit the target of God's plan for their lives. And now I must confess this morning that I have never tried to shoot a bow. But a couple of weeks ago, we were over at Steve and Belinda's house down in South Arlington, and Steve brought out his new high-tech bow. And he went out in the backyard to do a little practice target shooting. And needless to say, I was impressed. My observation is that to shoot that kind of bow, it takes a mighty man. A mighty man to be an archer. It requires strength, skill, and practice. So I was blown away. That arrow traveled from the bow to the target with such speed and accuracy that I couldn't believe it. And I can imagine come deer season, there's going to be some poor deer that's going to have a close encounter with one of Steve's arrows. But in this Bible verse we've read this morning, God, here in the New King James that I have read from, it uses the word warrior. Some of our Bibles may use the word the term mighty men. But since today is Father's Day, I want to speak to you on the subject, the warrior father. And going to get through this as quick as I can. When you spent all week working on a sermon, you hate to shortchange yourself or whatever, but number one, he's strong. The warrior father is strong. In the King James Version, it uses the word mighty man. In the Hebrew, this word means strong or mighty. And so it takes a strong man to bend a bow, to shoot an arrow. And that's the reason I was impressed by Steve as he shot those arrows. But to be a warrior father also requires great strength, great moral and spiritual strength, and sometimes great physical strength as well. Paul said in Ephesians 6, 10, 11, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And so today we need strong fathers. Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." And I believe that would be God's challenge and God's word to all of us as fathers today. Be brave, be strong. Number two, the warrior father answers the call to battle. And this morning, as we consider this subject, I wanted to go back into the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and also 1 Chronicles chapters 10 and 11. It talks about David's mighty men, David's warriors, and their great exploits and feats that they accomplish on the behalf of their king and leader. And so, the warrior father answers the call to battle. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1, we have these words. "Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag, while he was still a fugitive from Saul. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left in slinging stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren." Now, one of the thing that is amazing to me, these were men from Benjamin. They were Saul's brethren. They were from Saul's tribe. The natural inclination for them would be to loyalty to their fellow Benjaminite. But no, they understood God and His authority, that God had anointed David to be the next king. And so they transferred their loyalty to David and they answered the call. And they arrived to help David in his quest. And so I believe in the same way that warrior fathers in our day and in our generation have to answer the call. The call of God to be a man of God. The call of God to be a spiritual leader in your home and in your family. God wants us to answer the call to battle, because those of us who live here in America, and we have seen the degrading of moral values here in America, and we have seen the terrible transition of families and homes and marriages in America from those that remain true to the Word of God and faithful to God and His Word to anything goes, doing whatever pleases us. Number three, the warrior father stands his ground. Well, this thing is... That didn't help. One of you girls come get the gadget. Okay. The warrior father stands his ground. We have an example of this in some of David's men. And let me read. He stands his ground regardless of the opposition. We face all different kinds of opposition in our lives, and it was the same with David and his men. So let me give you the example of Josheb Bashebeth in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. It says, "These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb Bashebeth, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino, the Eznite, because he had killed 800 men at one time." Now, you know, you talk about a warrior, a man who could stand his ground and fight 800 men single-handedly and still win the battle? It seems almost impossible. Then there's the example of Shammah in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. Now that means his fellow soldiers and the Israelites, they fled from the Philistines. But he, meaning Shammah, stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. And so I say to you that we have this example in the Old Testament of man who knew what he believed. He was faithful and loyal to his leader, and he took a stand. He defended his ground and attacked the enemy. And so, regardless of the opposition, you know, sometimes it seems like the opposition is overwhelming. It seems like sometimes there's no hope and no way that we could win. But we put our trust in God, and we know that He will always be with us. He stands His ground regardless of the retreat of His fellow soldiers. Again, the example of Eleazar in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 9 and 10. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him to plunder. You know, here's a man, you've got the army, they're arrayed in battle against their enemy, the Philistines, but the odds are overwhelmingly against them. And so all of the other men retreat. But here's one man who stands his ground. Regardless of the fact that all of the others have retreated, they've bailed out, they've run away, he stands his ground. And so it is, I pray and hope that all of us today as dads are here, that our faith will be in God. Despite the overwhelming odds that sometimes is against us in our society, whether it be financial problems or physical problems or spiritual and moral problems and problems at work, that we will take our stand and we will be faithful and true to God, and that we will give honor and glory to Him. Number four, he overcomes the enemy. Now, folks, make no mistake about it. Just as those Philistines against David's mighty men, they wanted to destroy them. And our enemy, Satan, the devil, wants to destroy you today. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, one that many of us have memorized, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." And so Satan has one goal, and that is your destruction, my destruction. And particularly in the context of this message today, I think that fathers, dads in Christian homes is one of the high priority targets of Satan today. And if Satan can get to the dads and he can defeat the dads in their spiritual life and spiritual journey and as the leaders, spiritual leaders in their home, then Satan has won the victory. But Paul said again in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Let's remember always that our enemy wants to destroy us. And you and I, fathers, in our homes, we are the only ones who can let it happen. if we fail, if we let our guard down, if we compromise, then Satan has won the victory. The enemy must be overcome. Folks, I'm so thankful for our church, for a church that values families and values fathers and wants to do everything that we can to encourage and to build up and to strengthen fathers in the family. Because that's the only way that we can win the victory, when we have strong families led by strong dads who are spiritual leaders in their family. 1 Peter 5:9, the verse after that one we just read, says, "Resist him," meaning resist the devil, "steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We cannot give ground to the enemy. There's too much at stake. Our families, our children, their lives, their future, all of that is at stake. We need to remember David's mighty men. Did they give up when the odds seemed to be against them? No. They stood their ground. And what happened? The Lord brought about a great victory. And number 5, a warrior father is faithful. He's faithful. He's first of all faithful to his master. The faithfulness of David's mighty men. Samuel 23 and 1 Chronicles 11 and 12 gives us a list of all of David's mighty men. Those who laid their lives on the line for their leader. And the giving of those lists, I think, was in order to honor those men for their loyalty to David. These mighty men had served and supported their king in all of the changing circumstances through a very chaotic period in the history of Israel. Their love and loyalty to their master, to their leader, to their king, was demonstrated by 3 of those men. These 3 were just called the 3. And that is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. And again, I think in 2 Samuel chapter 23. But it's an interesting and unusual story, because David and his men are in what's called the stronghold. Now, I don't know if it was the stronghold in Jerusalem. Probably not. Some other stronghold there. The cave of Adullam or whatever. But anyway, he was with his men in the stronghold. And the Philistines had set up their garrison in David's hometown of Bethlehem. And David, there in the stronghold, weary with the long years of battle, says one day, "Oh, that I had a drink from the well of Bethlehem that is near the gate." 3 of his loyal warriors heard him say that. And so they left the stronghold. They went to Bethlehem. They attacked the Philistines. And they went to the well and got water from that well and brought it back to their leader, David. David, I don't know if he was shamed or what, but he said, "I can't drink this water because it represents the blood and the sacrifice of these men who risked their lives to go get this water for me." And so David poured that water out on the ground as an offering to God. Well, what to us might appear to be a selfish act on David's part, asking for water from the well at Bethlehem, and seeing his men do such an unusual, unbelievable feat. But leave it to David, a man after God's own heart, to turn it into a spiritual exercise. Because he took that water and poured it out and offered it to God. The warrior father's faithfulness to the Lord is what God wants us to be. Faithful to the Lord. As David's mighty men were faithful and loyal to him as their leader. And so you and I have only one leader. That is our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to be totally loyal to him. Psalm 127 and 3 again says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." And as fathers today, our focus must always be these children that God has given me. They're from the Lord. They belong to him. And I will live for them. But I think the warrior fathers that we're talking about today not only are faithful to their Lord and Master, but they're faithful to their wives. What a joy and a privilege it is for me to have been married to Barbara for nearly 56 years. To be loyal. To be faithful. Yesterday, we went to the Chinese church there in South Louisville for their senior citizens ministry, which meets on Saturday mornings. And yesterday, the program, they showed a movie. And the movie was the biography of a Pastor Zheng from China. And the story is simply this. They were in China. He and his wife married. They had five children. God brought the gospel into their lives. They were saved by his marvelous grace. God called him to preach the gospel. And so he left his wife and five children there in China and went to Hong Kong to attend seminary to prepare himself for ministry. And while in Hong Kong, the communist revolution took place. And China came under the control of the communist government. They would not let his wife and children leave the country to join him. He didn't want to go back to China. So he began a ministry, a very successful ministry as a pastor there in Hong Kong and perhaps in other places. And God used him greatly. During those 30 years that they were separated, his wife and children in China and he outside of China, he had many women to entice him to illicit liaisons. But he always remained faithful to his wife. And finally, after 30 years, Pastor Zheng's wife and children were permitted to leave China and to join him in California. And what a blessing it was to see them as they celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary together. And his life was divided up sort of like Moses. Instead of Moses 40-40-40, his was 30-30-30. 30 years, he began a separation from his wife. And for 30 years, they were separated. And then, after they were reunited, God gave them another 30 years together. What a blessing it was to see a man, though separated, though tempted, could be faithful and faithful to his children. Fathers, today, your children need a hero. And I'm not talking about Superman or Spider-Man or X-Men or some other so-called superhero. I believe today that the real hero is Jesus Christ. He gave His life for all mankind, the entire human race. And He is the real superhero. But dads, our children need heroes. The truth is that God wants every Christian father to model Jesus Christ before their children and thus become a hero to their children. How important fathers are in the family. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey tells the story of Ernest Hemingway. For you younger people, Ernest Hemingway was a famous American author of days gone by, of the 20th century. He grew up in a very devout Christian family. But Ernest Hemingway never experienced the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. Instead, he went off into a very profligate, a very sinful life. And there was no father waiting to discipline him and to guide him in the way that he should go. And so his life sank into a deep depression. Ultimately, he committed suicide. But while he was living in Spain, he wrote a short story that reveals what he had hoped to receive from his father. In this story that he wrote, it tells the story of a Spanish father who decided to reconcile with his son who had run away to Madrid. The father, in a moment of remorse, takes out this ad in El Libro, a newspaper there in Madrid. And the ad in the newspaper said, "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon Tuesday. All is forgiven. Papa." When the father arrived at the square in hopes of meeting his son, he found 800 Pacos waiting to be reunited with their father. This is a disease that's rampant in America. How many families have no father? How many Pacos are waiting for their father to reach out to them to be reconciled? I pray that we don't have any Pacos here today waiting for the love and forgiveness of their father. Well, number 6, the warrior father is versatile. More of those Benjamin warriors. 1 Chronicles 12:2 says, "They were armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left." They were ambidextrous. They were skilled. You know, I don't think that today we can imagine what a lethal weapon the bow and arrow was to that ancient warrior. But we have some records. For instance, the record of the Saracens who fought the Crusaders. And one of the requirements for an archer warrior in the Saracens was that they had to be able to shoot 3 arrows in 1.5 seconds. Now, needless to say, I doubt we've got anybody here today who can do that. It's said that the Indian chief Hiawatha could shoot 10 arrows into the air, and he could do it before the first arrow that he shot hit the ground. That's fast shooting. That's even, it's faster than some of these 6 guns you see on these westerns. But before the invention of gunpowder, the bow and arrow was a lethal weapon that was used in ancient warfare. In fact, I saw a video on the internet made by Lars Andersen, a Danish archer. And he had read these reports about the Saracens and Hiawatha, and how could they shoot so fast? And so he began to work, practice, develop the skills that they had to shoot with not only the accuracy, but the speed that they could. And I witnessed myself a video demonstration by Lars Andersen shooting 10 arrows in 4.9 seconds. And he matched Chief Hiawatha's record, in fact exceeded it. He shot 11 arrows into the air before the first one hit the ground. Well, Dad's, I saw Steve, but he's got out there, you know, he's a good archer. He's got a good bow. He's got some good arrows. But I don't think he's going to be doing that kind of shooting. But I pray that you and I, as fathers today, will develop the versatility to do whatever it takes. The skills. Some of the videos that we saw this morning. We have to work at it, don't we? To be dads. To earn that respect. To be what God wants us to be as father warriors. And then, I think this is the last point. He shoots straight. And that's important. You got to shoot straight. Judges 20:16. Now, this is not shooting arrows. This is hurling stones with a slingshot. But it says, among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, that's good shooting. And if you could do it with a slingshot, I think you could do it just as easily with a bow and arrow. In fact, I was amazed at watching Steve. You know, and if you've ever been to their house, you know that from his back door to the back wall of their property is further than from here to that back wall there at the end of the hall. It's a pretty good distance. And yet, I saw him shoot those arrows just about hitting the bullseye every time. We've got to shoot straight because our arrows are a gift from God. Verse 3 said, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And so, we need to shoot straight because these children that we have are gifts from God. They're our heritage, our inheritance, if you please. And I thank God for all of my children and my grandchildren. And yes, I even claim Robert and Steve And thank God for all of them. But the heirs, the children, must be shaped and sharpened. Think of those ancient warriors. You know, one of the things, I grew up out in West Texas, and my maternal grandparents lived at the top of a hill, and down the bottom of that long, over half a mile long hill was a little spring. We called it Dripping Springs. And up on the plateau above that spring, there was a large, flat, level area that had once been an Indian encampment. And as we would go down there to Dripping Springs to play, one day we were walking along and looked down, and there was an arrow. In days past, one of those Indian warriors perhaps had been down there hunting and had shot at a deer or a rabbit or a wild turkey. That arrow made out of flint had been shaped and sharpened so that tied to that arrow, it could be shot and go to its target and destination. So the warrior knows that he must follow the rules for making arrows out of sticks, because that's all they had back in those days, were sticks that they would find, and they would shape them and mold them and whittle them until they were straight and true and would go to the target. Not all arrows are the same. Some arrows are for target, some for practice, some for hunting. But arrows aren't just for show. Arrows have a purpose. And I know that all of you who have children in your family, no matter how many you have, they're not just for show. They're God's gift to you. And you understand and realize that you as a father have been given a very unique position and opportunity. I know some of us may be better at it than others, but we're praying for the grace of God to make up the difference. Fathers are important. I read the story of the Peace Corps volunteers. In earlier years, a study was conducted on the Peace Corps volunteers because you had a fairly large percentage of them. They would sign up for a 2-year or a 3-year tour of duty, and many of them would drop out. They would have problems of adjustment, cultural adjustments. Sometimes psychiatric problems would develop, and they would drop out. They would go back home. And so they did a study. They divided the Peace Corps volunteers into those who completed their tour of duty and those who didn't. And they found that those who completed their tour of duty, only 9% had absent fathers during their growing up years. But of the other group, the group that dropped out, that bailed out before their tour was ended, 44% had absent fathers during that critical growing up time of 10 to 15 years of age. Fathers are important. Kids, I know sometimes you think we're a pain, but we're important. Thank God for fathers. And then the arrows must be released. You know, arrows are designed to fly. They're designed to pierce a target. They were never intended to stay in the quiver. The quiver is just a vehicle that carries them until they're ready to be released. And children are the same. David said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. God never intended for children to stay forever in the four walls of our home. Home is merely a place to prepare them and mold them and straighten them and balance them to be ready to be released to go toward that target. And the time is coming when they will be released. You know, that's probably one of the hardest times in the life of parents, when the time comes for them to leave the nest. I remember the day back in 1976. Judy, this very mature 17-year-old, had graduated from high school over in Taiwan. She was coming back to the U.S. to go to college. And I guess it was because we were just too young or too stupid not to know better. But we put her on that plane and set her off by herself. That was one of the hardest things that we have ever done. But we were releasing her. I know she went through some struggles, some problems, some bumps in the road, but we've never been disappointed. And the purpose, fathers and mothers, in our home is God has blessed us with these children, that we can nurture them, that we can shape them, that we can sharpen them, that we can prepare them to be what God wants them to be. Because God has a target for each of their lives. Make no mistake about that. And when we release them, it's releasing them to hit the target. So the warrior father, his arrows hit the target. I thought of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train them up. Get them ready to hit the target. Well, my sincere apologies for this long-winded sermon. But thank God for fathers. Amen. Would all of you non-fathers give a hand to the father?